All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm joined with UFC champion BJ Penn. BJ Penn, a great Hall of Famer UFC champion. Both of us have fighting in common, but I got to say, where I really give BJ the credit is that he actually went into the world of politics, which I didn't even have the balls to do. I feel like you got to be in a club, dude. You got to be in a club, and you found that out firsthand, right?
Yeah, it is. You know what? I learned so much, though. From what I knew when I first got involved, I just remember what my dad told me about the Constitution, and I didn't really know anything. The second time I ran, I see the problem now. Now I see the problem. I mean, besides that, it is a club or secret society, whatever we want to call those guys. And everybody in the world, I'm sure, knows a few. They just don't know that they're in that club or whatever. But looking at everything, because you always think to fix the economy, you gotta bring in stuff. Like, man, imagine if we had gambling, or imagine if weed was legal, or imagine this and that. But that does nothing. Because all that does is cause more traffic and more crowds. You know what I mean? Because it's the cost. It's the cost of living. We have one problem. This problem is the cost of living. And everything else is a symptom. Everything. Fucking homelessness. How can you have a homeless problem and a housing problem at the same time? Who made who? Who turned this through here? The homeless people didn't make the housing problem, didn't make the houses, you can't even buy them anymore. It wasn't these guys who did that. It's these guys. And you got to go. You really do have to go in.
I saw your Instagram post, and you were working hard, bro. Like, you were really out there. You were banging the concrete, dude. You were out there, like, with signs. I saw you were working hard like you did before your fights. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I saw. Every time I saw you on Instagram or something like that, you were really beating the pavement and really trying to kick ass. But hold on, BJ, hold on. Let me just get into this for a second. Folks, you got to get your three harmful foods. We live in the most advanced era in human history. There have never been more medical breakthroughs than there are right now. So why are millions of Americans more unhealthy and overweight than they've ever been? According to U.S. board-certified physician and expert nutritionist Dr. Amy Lee, one of the main reasons is three harmful foods that are being passed off as health foods all over the country. And wait till you hear this. Because these foods can cause weight gain, clog your digestive tract, deplete your energy, and wreck your skin, they are banned in other countries. Yet, shockingly, they're still legal in the U.S. There's no surprise there. And it's time someone shined a light on what they are. Dr. Amy Lee does just that while explaining how the side effects from these foods are wreaking havoc on the health of millions of Americans. The great news is it's easy to stop and reverse this damage by simply learning which foods to avoid and how to spot them. And by doing so, you can experience easier weight loss, smooth digestion, and vibrant energy. To find out more and to find out which these three fake foods are, go to threeharmfulfoods.com/Nino, folks. That's threeharmfulfoods/Nino. Click on the link in the description box below. I tell you what, BJ, I was when I got done boxing, I kept eating the same way. And I got big, man. You know, I was a heavyweight, right? But I mean, I got to tell you, like, I'm now learning, like, what foods to stay away from, dude. And I got to tell you, like, back when I was in my 20s, I could eat anything. I could eat anything and just train it. I was burning it off. And then all of a sudden, dude, I almost hit 300 pounds just bam. Like
wow.
One day to the next, almost 300 pounds, bro.
That's how I got bigger, period. I remember my first fight, the UFC was a 155. First time in my life. No, I made weight at jiu-jitsu and stuff, but I remember making weight, and then I thought, I can eat whatever I want. And I just did that, and then I never stopped
Well, dude, like a guy like you, bro, let's just talk about you for a second. You're a How many time champion? How many was it? Three or four? How many?
I was a jiu-jitsu world champion, the first non-Brazilian, but that ain't fighting. That's a match or whatever. And then the fighting, I was I'm still the only 155 and 170 pound UFC champion.
Yeah, but so, BJ, you could box a little bit, bro. You knew how you had a very you had a you know, when I watch your fights, I see that you have a lot of chi. You're very good with your energy. And I know, and fighters have that. World champion fighters have that. You're able to read energy, and that's an art form that not many fighters have. I you know, when I lost my two fights, well, up until I was about 36-0, I had that. And then when I suffered the knife attack to the throat and the whole thing that happened to me, that threw my whole energy off, my chi off. But you've always had that your whole career.
Man, hey, let everybody thank you for saying that. And, you know, you know how it is. As soon as you get to the fight, as soon as you guys get to the hotel, you look the way you look at the people. And I mean, I said it in a couple of my things on while I was running for office, but you look at their skin, you look at their face, you look at they're clammy, you look if their hands are sweating, you look at their limping, you look if they can shake people's hands, you look at everything. We're masters of detail, right?
The eyes don't lie.
Yep. The eyes don't fuck, they don't lie. And it's, you know what? What a perfect thing to be involved with, to walk over to the politics. And I always remember that Apollo Creed, when he said, without some challenge, without some war, the fighter may as well be dead. But wow. He's right, man. Right?
It's true. And that's how I see you, to be honest with you, because you kind of, I guess you thought like you're going to take your fighting ability, your fighting mentality, and bring it into politics. But dude, the game is just not played the same way, at least in the UFC and at least in boxing. We have a puncher's chance. We can beat the judges at their own game. We can win by a knockout, or we can win so decisively that they can't legitimately rob you if it's just so one-sided, which they still can. Obviously, they still can, but at least we have a puncher's chance, right? And you try to take that into politics. Politics is a different game. It's a different animal.
It's
you got to be a kiss-ass. You got to be a kiss-ass in politics. Yeah. You're not a kiss-ass. You're a fighter.
You gotta be a sellout. And I'm not talking about a little bit of a sellout. You gotta be 100% fucking loser. You know? It really is. I mean, they say, like, because I see people who went to jail and stuff, because these guys are our friends. We know a lot of them well. And they never, they'll hold their head high that they never ratted anybody out in jail. And nobody likes to tattletale. Nobody. Not even the person he's telling. But they'll hold their head up high there. But then they'll go work for the biggest freaking rats in the world, the intelligence agencies. And it's just, you know what I mean? I mean, a rat is a rat is a rat is a rat. Doesn't matter. That's how I look at it.
I know that they're trying to, I mean, they did everything in their power to drown you out and suffocate you and make you, I mean, you made some moves though. I mean, you made some big moves. You made a big bang. You were running for governor, right?
I was running for governor. Yes. But just getting an idea of how big this kind of the scope is, they bring all the politicians, all the candidates. They bring the terrorists over here on this side. They bring the freedom fighters over here on this side. So if you step up to say something, you're with them already. They're already all surrounded around you. You're ready. They're already there. I mean, they're the whole NFL. They're every team. The only reason why there is Green Party and a Libertarian Party is just for them to get more agents on the field. No other reason. They do nothing else. It's just to get more of them out
so
there.
So you went into this like you went into it with like a big heart, a good heart. You wanted to change things. You wanted to make a difference in Hawaii, and you found out really fast who runs the show, basically.
Well, you know, if you figure out this one, the second time that I ran, my own hometown. Hey, quiet. My own hometown. we were taking a dollar a year, so we weren't even going to take a paycheck. Out there, I never seen them wave once. But that's why I kind of didn't campaign as hard as when I was governor, because while this was all going on and looking and seeing that she didn't wave once and looking and just kind of realizing what's going on. I mean, it's one of those things where they got really pissed off because they had to do it obvious this time. They had to make it real fucking obvious. That's where they got hit in the mouth.
So like for me, right? Like I embarked on this podcasting career, and thank God that took off for me, because I don't know what I'd be doing otherwise. I mean, and that's how I'm making my difference. But you know, we as fighters, man, and I know you can relate to this. It's we're all in or nothing. Like everything we do, it's 100% pedal to the metal, dude. Like we don't slow down for anybody. And when you'd make a transition from boxing or UFC into life, you have like a sense of shell shock. You kind of have PTSD from the fight game. You cannot just come into regular life and be a normal person. It's almost impossible. So you have to jump into something else. You have to transform your energy into something else. And you decided on politics. Are you going to continue down this road, or what are you going to decide to do, BJ? I mean, I know you have gyms, don't you?
Yeah. And then we got the gym over here, and you know,
does that fill a void for you, or does it not fill a void for you?
Does sitting outside of the club fill a void for you? Does it help you get dancing out of your system standing outside the club? You know,
bro, but I can relate, because I remember when I was commentating boxing on a few TV stations or whatever. I remember I hated it. It killed me inside, dude. I couldn't do it. I just felt like you're watching the party, just like you said. You're watching the party and you're not part of it anymore. It's horrible. I couldn't deal with it. That's why so many fighters, I think, that are UFC or boxing, they go into drugs and alcohol, right?
Right. It's still the only thing is intense, right? Intense how the people are going to treat you from the side. Yeah, it's just like how when I was fighting. You know what I mean? Right? Because they're just used to that. But I remember talking to Kelly Slater not too long ago, and he's like, oh, am I going to hang it up soon? I'm kind of nervous. I don't know what to do. And I just told him, just jump on the fucking next horse. There's going to be horses sitting around. Are you going to jump on them, right? But it's always like, even from the beginning of the sport we played, the talent isn't the talent. The talent is doing something with the fucking talent.
That's right? True.
The talent's not the fucking talent. It fucking grows on trees. There's all a good guy fucking right around the corner right here, wherever you go. You know? It's doing something with it. But, I mean, looking... You know what? I always would say fighters are the best problem solvers in the world. We solve thousands of problems in, I say 300 seconds because that's 5 minutes. But we solve, my hand's too low, I'm getting tired, or whatever it is. You're just constantly just shifting. It really is like one of those where they have that one GIF where all the numbers are going across the screen and all that. Right? You know, right? All of that hangover or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's our daily. That's everything, right? And we're constantly, and that's how I just, after a while, I just looking at everybody's thing. And you're smart people running these things. Smart people. But looking back, like, if you would ask me last year, oh, what's your solution to the homeless problem? I would have, you know, we got to get a roof over their head. We got to make sure whoever needs the help, we got to get them whatever mental health they need, whether it's drugs or pills, whatever it is. And, oh, maybe we'll send some back to the mainland, or, you know, where they came from. But really, all of them are intelligence agencies just sitting there trying to lower the property value. They're all, the locals aren't going to go sit in front of the local freaking Cafe Pesto. Right over there, it's all freaking intelligence guys. You know,
is Hawaii still real bad with homelessness? I mean, I heard you guys, weren't you that one time flying people out of there, one way fly out?
But they sent them back because these guys, it's a sanctuary state, so they can just be immigrants in there, and then they can just catch a flight. They can be snowbirds, fly down to Hawaii for the weekend if they live in Chicago. I mean, for the summer if they live in Chicago, then fly back or whatever it
So
is.
is there a lot of tents there and shit? Is there like, because I know I remember
They made like a little tent town. It was called Mitchville at first for Mitch Roth, but for the mayor. But they made a kind of a tent place. I mean, these guys, is you're talking about so much money. I mean, Hawaiian Homes alone over here, they don't make any of the houses for the Native Hawaiians that they should. The Native Hawaiians are over. They're 10% of the population, but they're like 75% of the homeless, the real homeless, not these guys sitting around out here,
Yeah.
intelligence agents. But I mean, the Department of Hawaiian Homes has a kind of a portfolio that would make Elon Musk or Bill Gates blush. These kind of guys, but they say they only rent it. They only rent all of their properties for $1 a year. Same price they give the Native Hawaiians or whatever. But these guys have so much land, and these guys could have so much power. They could build a house for every, doesn't even have to be Native Hawaiian, for every fucking person here. You know what I mean? It's just crazy the kind of stuff you see going
Are
on.
you gonna stay in politics? Are you gonna keep going at it, or are you kind of just...
I'm not gonna spend another penny running for office ever again. But I might just leave my name inside and just leave my signs up if it's, just leave them up all year. There you go. You
I
can't miss it.
I can't imagine you giving up on anything because you are a champion. But I mean, there comes a point where you just realize it's kind of like when you have to decide to retire from a sport or to retire from UFC. I mean, you got to know when to throw in the towel. You know what I mean? You either leave the sport or the sport leaves you. Is that the same thing with politics? I mean, look at Tito Ortiz. He went in for like what a not even a year, or how long did he go in for? And then he was like, "Fuck this."
Fuck, man, you can't. Yeah, well, and then going through all of that, I mean, this stuff is just nothing compared to that, you know. Well, I remember when walking out of the debate, I remember the first time I did the debate in front of on the statewide television, and I was up there. I remember walking out. I remember like just going like this, like, well, I'm not bleeding from anything, right? That's how
But
it is.
you, but your soul felt dirty.
Yeah. Because you're gonna compare it to things you know, right? So like that was you're up there, and they were taking their best shots, but it was just it's fun though. It really is fun looking at it. What's that? How are you gonna solve it? But you gotta know. I mean, you can take the 10 smartest people in the world, put them in a room, and say, and they won't be able to solve Hilo's homeless problem. That's because it's not a problem. That's where they trick you. The word problem. It's a symptom. This is the problem. You gotta fix the economy and affordable. The word affordable. You cannot say the word affordable unless it fits in the 40 fucking hours. You cannot work over three jobs. You cannot work three jobs to make ends meet. Affordable means the 40 hours. So that means the 40 hours gotta do your house. You gotta get your house, your food, take care of your kids, a car. And your vacations a year. That's the only fucking thing affordable. But it's not. We could put five casino boats right here in the Hilo, downtown Hilo, in the Breakwall. Marijuana industry, NASCAR track on the other side. Doesn't matter. You gotta bring the cost down. People are gonna just keep thinking that. Why do people like to be in Vegas? Whatever certain tax breaks they got, or just wherever you are, anywhere you're doing, whatever you're doing. But over
No,
here,
you said something a while back that had me thinking, and I was like, he makes a lot of sense. You were saying, why aren't we planting, especially in Hawaii, why aren't we planting in the city more trees with fruits on it so we could solve the hunger problem with the homeless? Why aren't we planting more pineapples? Why aren't we planting more fruits just to and let it just give it to the public? And when I first heard that, I was like, I don't know about that. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, that's actually the most logical thing I've ever heard in my life.
that's the only thing that that makes money a necessity. Money is not a necessity if you take food off it. Then
Right.
you just work for whatever you want materialistic. Because everybody always talks about, oh, we got to make our own money. But that's not it. The food is the one. The food, it's air from the earth, water from the well, food from the trees,
and it's
from
free,
God.
And it's all free.
That's why if they took you gotta tell them, if you took the fucking trees, then fucking put them back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is. You took the trees, put them back. That simple. I mean, we
and
really
then,
went
so
through.
It's the system we live in. It's the system we live in that it's made for, out of scarcity. I mean, and most, and everyone you meet, dude, everyone you know, most everyone you know is just trying to survive. Nobody's really thriving. Everyone's just trying to keep their nose above water.
Yep. And because I was in a meeting with them, I went to one of their forums and they were talking, and I stood up and I said, I just want to know what's going on. There's water falling from the sky. There's rivers on both sides of our feet. And there's the same amount of food as the Sahara Desert. We're going to have to take food off the market. We're going to have to take something off the market, because that's, you got these guys stuck in the rat race. And then now you start taking the food away from them. Now, $300 a bag for a bag of groceries and this and that. You got to feed your soldiers. These guys are out here paying fucking taxes. Feed them. You know what I mean?
You know, I have a friend that's a tax accountant. I won't say his name. He's an accountant. He's a CPA. And he was telling me, Dave, you have no idea. And like what people are doing for money now, like teachers, doctors, lawyers, dude, it's OnlyFans. Like that's where society is going. Like people are actually like, and then, and like how, like that's the point. That's where we're at in society. Like it's the narcissism. It's the people don't have to go to strip bars anymore. They could do it from their home. Like women now are doing the OnlyFans thing and making tons of money. So they're selling their morals, their ethics. Everything's going out the window now because it's so hard to survive, but sex sells. And you got women now that are like, you know, I don't know how old you have to be to have an OnlyFans, but when I found out that he told me, dude, you have no idea, they're making more at their OnlyFans than being a lawyer, than being a doctor. They're making more of that. That's where society is going, dude. That's where we're at now. What's your thoughts on that? Like, just selling out. People just sell out left and right.
Man, did you see? Somebody was talking to me about that one, the rats or whatever, the rat test, and then after a while, they all came together and started beating up the alpha males because the alpha males were taxing the other ones, and then it just had the kind of weaker males and the women, and then they weren't good for breeding with, so then they all die. The test over and over, the test goes. You know what I mean? Makes you wonder, right?
It's kind of like where we're at right now.
Yeah,
it's where America's at right now. It's
yeah, it really is, man. It's,
and I wonder if we can.
I mean, we don't even have to step up. All you got to do is, yeah. I mean, to me, I really believe you don't have to have a revolution. Nobody has to die. No, there has to be no civil war. All you got to do is just make sure, just like anything else, when somebody comes to buy alcohol or what they do to people when they go to buy a gun or what they do to do all those things, you got to do that for the people making laws. You got to make sure you know everybody doing everything. That's all I ever say. You got to make sure you know everything.
Do you think the system is too corrupt? It's irreversible from your experience? Is it going to be something that we can fix, or do you think it's just too far gone?
Whenever somebody gets in office, a president or a governor or anybody, and then they say, because of the last administration, it's going to take a couple years to turn this thing around. Fucking kick them out right there. Get rid of them right there immediately. Immediately. Like this, you can fix the whole thing. You know? Instantly. Because all you got to do is just change all the department heads. I mean, now looking back, you know, it was funny how little I knew because, I mean, from what I see, I don't know, there's a couple of things maybe not everybody could be, or maybe they could be if somebody said, yeah, I'm going to be the president of the United States. I would say, no, you can't, but maybe they're just going to be maybe they're just going to fucking bow down and be
yeah,
a
yeah,
fucking,
but to be president, you got to be part of the club.
But, yeah, or... just to be the real president of the United States, is right? Are you going to be the president of the United States, or are you going to be the real president of the United States?
You try to be the real president of the United States, you get shot.
Guaranteed.
I mean, we just saw that just a few, you know, few weeks back with Trump. I mean, dude, this, you know, he's trying to go into a system that needs to be cleaned out. I mean, the whole damn thing, it's just like fumigating for termites. You got to get every last termite in the system out of there. That's the only way we turn this around.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's the scope of this thing, how big it is. And I would have to say that, you know, the state prison, you know, they got that. You got people go to state prison, and then the feds, they got the federal penitentiary. But then you got bigger organizations than those guys that you don't know. You don't know what anybody does, you know? And you're just talking, just to think how big the scope of everything is. I mean, is it 50% of the people in the world is in that club?
Yeah.
I mean, well, how big is this scope? We don't know. We don't know anything, you know? They say, yeah, it's a club. Well, you think it's just 20 guys? You think it's people you don't know? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody's got their hands in the pot, man. What is Lahaina? What does Lahaina look like right now, man? What is that like after that devastating fire? And I know you and I have our theories on that fire, so we can't talk about it on YouTube, but what's your thoughts? Like, what does Lahaina even look like now, bro? Like, what does that even turn into?
I haven't been there since the last time I was there, but I haven't heard anybody that was on their property again. I have heard that some people are moving away. I did see Josh Green or all those guys doing all that stuff where they were renting houses for these guys for $15,000 a month. They're renting all of these houses for these people instead of building them their fucking houses. They're renting them all.
I got you.
And then they had them in hotels, and then now they kicked them out. Well, we did. We had you there for 2 years. Yeah. Well, I don't have a fucking house now. You know.
But wait. But I mean, like Oprah and all them still have their house there, don't they?
Well, you know already. Yep. You know Oprah and all.
So are you done with the politics, BJ? Or are you gonna keep going?
I'm not gonna spend another penny ever again. I'm gonna leave my old signs up all year, just wherever they are, this that are on our properties or something that we can leave them up. And then I'm just gonna keep my name hid. Fuck them. Fucking hold my name.
But you plan, are you gonna open more gyms, or what do you plan to do, BJ? Because I know how it is for a fighter, bro. I know how hard it is to make that transition back into regular life. Like, if you don't have something, a goal to go for, something big that you have to fight for, what are you gonna do? You know, I mean, you and I both know guys that come out of boxing, come out of UFC, and where do they go, bro? They go to cocaine, they go to drugs, they go to alcohol. I was a prime example of that for a long time. So if you don't have something to immerse yourself into, like, it can get dangerous. It can get real dangerous for guys like us.
We go too far on everything, right? That's why we can't drink, because we want to be the best. We want to be the world champion for fucking drinking, whatever it is. Right? Fuck, you drink like a pussy. Give me that thing. But that's it. But that's right. That's, we can't help it. So, I mean, that's what I said about politics, because a lot of people, when I started going after some of them, they were calling me on different things. And then that's where just from being a fighter, that's where you just realize, look, they're bleeding from here. Look, that's where I want to kill them, right here. This is where they bleed from. But just looking back at it all, it's been, what a good time, man. What a good time it's been.
You're a legend, bro. You're a legend. And you know, I have to ask a question. Do you think you'll ever fight again? Would you ever have one more fight for the books? Would you ever do it just to get that adrenaline rush, maybe? Maybe one last fight?
Never know. For the books, maybe not, but Who said I didn't fight last week?
Would you ever go like into another, like let's say jujitsu or something? Would you do a boxing match? What about like, what's your thoughts? Let's talk about Jake Paul for a second. I think he's completely reinvented the sport. I mean, I've never seen someone able to just cherry pick everybody, anybody and everybody he wants to fight. There is, and you know this, there's a big difference between being an MMA striker and a boxer. Boxers will not fare well in the UFC octagon, but MMA strikers won't fare well in the boxing ring either. And Jake Paul just handpicks these guys. What's your thoughts on Jake Paul? What do you think? What's your thoughts on the Jake Paul experiment? You know, I got to ask you that. I've always wondered what
Well,
you thought about that.
I see him doing all these stuff. He got into great shape. He got strong. And, I might be too crazy to answer a question like this.
No, answer it.
No.
Be blunt. Be honest. Who cares?
No, I mean, with all of this stuff that, I mean, just being around the politics and everything, just being around all, can you see me? Okay.
Yeah, I can see
Just
you.
being around the politics and everything, I mean, and just seeing how crazy it is, makes me wonder. Well, it's either he did it, and that's him, and that's he got that good. I mean, he put in the time. If you would ask me if that would have been enough time, yeah, I could have seen him for the guys he's went up against.
Yeah,
But
but
then I
he handpicks MMA fighters. He's not fighting real boxers.
and the bare knuckle guy, what's his name? He's
Oh,
pretty tough.
yeah.
Want to beat Rockhold, and but it looked like it almost looked funny when he kind of like when he was stepping back and letting something looked a little strange at one point to me in there. And I'm not the guy that ever looks for that. Somebody brought it up, I think it was Hector Lombard, and I started looking at it and I thought, huh, kind of, yeah, well, that was kind of weird, but whatever, it happened. And I, with all these different stuff that I see, crazy stuff that I see around, I sure it's not a guy that got plastic surgery to look like Jake Paul, and then
I mean, I say Jake Paul is like a, you know, he's a C minus fighter at best in boxing, but hey, he's handpicking people like Nick Diaz and other MMA
is
greats.
that
And
who he's talking to? Oh yeah, Nate. Yeah,
I
Nate.
mean, Nate Diaz, sorry, did I say Nick Nate? Yeah. I mean, but I think the person that had some of the best boxing ability in the MMA was you. I think you were very technically sound. I mean, if Jake Paul ever called you out, would you ever fight Jake Paul, or is that something you're just like, eh?
Towards the end, I think we're saying some stuff about him. They actually contacted us when they were talking about fighting us. We were like one of the first guys. This was before Woodley, I think, but it
How
never
long ago was
materialized.
this?
Right before Woodley, I think they ended up going with Woodley instead of us.
I think you'd be kind of a problem for Jake Paul, man. I mean, I think, you know. Obviously, you're older now. You know, if he called me out, I'd probably take the fight tomorrow. I'd roll off the
Oh,
couch and probably take it. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, but someone like you that has a massive name, I think you might give Jake Paul some problems in the boxing ring. You were pretty damn good at boxing, and I know your trainer, Perillo, Jason.
Man, I would love to. I would love to. It's not here, it's here,
Yeah.
right? All the time. But I see all the stuff out there, and I would have enjoyed, actually. I would have enjoyed fighting him at
But you feel
that
like you're gonna make more of a difference in politics.
You know what it is that the politics is? I don't want to play it. That's why. And like when they were bleeding and they were all calling me, "Hey man, can you stop it?" All the business people from around the island. That's how I knew. I was like, okay, now I see what's going on, and I told him, and I told him, I don't want to play if I'm not trying to win. If I'm not trying to win, I don't want to. I'm not going to even play around. You know what I mean? I'm only coming in this to win, to do what we're supposed to do for the people. If not, I'm not. I don't want to fuck around.
Yeah, let me ask you
That's
this. You know, when I was boxing, dude, we had sanctioning bodies. We had like 10 different belts. We had thousands of different promoters putting on shows at the time. It was and then to be part of the sanctioning body, to be part of the belts that you were with, sometimes you'd have to pay fucking sanctioning fees. You'd have to pay to stay in the top 10, stay in the top 5. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's very political. the UFC is not really like that, is it? I mean, it's owned by, it's one belt, it's one owner, Dana White. It's a little cleaner than boxing, right?
I guess, but then they can control it better. You know what I mean? I mean, if these boxers are really making that kind of money, the big hundreds of millions of dollars, because
but it's UFC, a very few control, though.
Right? And UFC can control it. UFC uses the socialism idea kind of thing, you know, like more for the other guy, like $3,000 fight. Like they get 3,000 their first fight. This guy's fighting for, right? How much a round? $100 a round over here. So it's one of those things where, yeah, but you know what? I got nothing to complain about the UFC, but they, it's just one of those things, but nothing wrong
there's
with that.
So there's brackets in the UFC. So in other words, you make like $5,000-$10,000 your first couple fights, and then you move up to like 20, 30 grand.
I think it was 2,500. I think you make $5,000 your first fight now in the UFC. So that's pretty fucking good. I mean, come right? Better than $100 a round, four rounds.
Depends on
right?
your injuries. It depends if it outweighs your medical bills.
Yep. And you know, it's got to be young kids at that time too, right?
Well, they're getting paid with glory, dude. I mean, young kids, Dana White knows, he's no fool. He knows you're paying them with pride and glory and women, and they want to be famous. That's what's the intrigue for a young guy. When I was boxing, man, when I made 400, in a four rounder, I made $400. My first like three or four fights, I was making $400 or $500. It was nothing, but I was like, yeah, I get to get under the lights. I get to fight. I get the fame. I get the women. That's what I was getting paid with.
It feels the same. It feels that your first amateur fight feels the same as your championship fight.
That's 100% true.
Yeah. It's the same thing. There's nothing more important at that time. When you're standing in front of somebody in a fist fight, nothing more important in the whole world. Right?
Yeah. Nothing. No. It's just that moment of glory, man. It's just that, you know, I look back on my career and I think to myself, damn, was that just a dream? It's over. I mean, it's
well,
done.
Now if I do get into, if somebody goes, hey, you want to step outside? I look at him and just think, you're not
as long
serious.
As you're not drinking. Don't
you're
drink.
Not, you're not serious, right? Because he wouldn't have asked if you were, you know? And I said, yeah, I'm never waiting for the announcer again. Fuck that. the guy's gonna find out he was fighting that day when he gets up. That's how it would have to be, right? But my brain, you know what keeps my brain like this is how intense all the politics is, actually. You know, I mean, that's some serious stuff out there.
Where do you see America going in the next 3 months? Like, honestly, we got September, October, November. I see. What's your view on that? What do you see?
I mean, if I have a vote, I'm voting for Trump. You know, it's Trump gets in, and then he's got to clean up that mess, which is going to cause problems. He's got to clean up all the immigrants, which is going to cause problems. And then on the other side, you got the Kamala. Boy, Kamala and Joe, just perfect actors. And then, you know, I just from hearing different things that it could, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something to stop the election. I mean, hearing that for a year, but,
I'm with you on that. I think you're right on the money, dude, to be honest with you, BJ. I am right there with you. You know, I went with BJ. It was probably been about a year, almost a year now. Has it been a year since I went with you on the Joe Rogan show? And you were on the Joe Rogan show, and we were at his studios. It was, fuck, dude, that facility. He has like a training facility there that is epic. I've never seen anything like it. The most amazing. What was it? I wanted to ask you, like, what was it like being on the Joe Rogan show? Like, what can you say about that? I guess you guys are still pretty good friends, right?
Yeah. I don't really talk to him that much though, but I remember him for a long time, and that's pretty big though, that show and everything, you know. I got to go on there with Tulsi and Joe, and it was a good experience. It was, you know, just looking back at everything now, I learned so much from these last two times that I ran for office. I just look at everything so different now. I mean, even more different from when I was from. No, I look at it with eyes of a fighter because I fought my whole life. But after looking at that, now I see the, because it was the world right here. But then I just looked at this for a little bit. Now this world is just completely different, you know, strange. But it's fine. Nothing's wrong. I don't think we're in any position where we got to panic. We need food, though. That's the one thing we do need. I mean, you're talking, like when I say the cost of living, we got to cut the cost of living. So this was 50 miles right here. District 1 was 50 miles. All the rain, the wind comes from the east. We're on the east coast, so it's all green and rivers, 50 rivers. So this alone, imagine all food, just like how we had sugar cane back in the day. So we just do all food trees like that all the way for the 50 miles. And then we got all those rivers because the two most expensive things besides the housing is the food and it's the electricity because now they ban charcoal and they're doing all, or ban coal and doing all this shit. So you got all those rivers, right? There's your hydroelectric because when they do those solar farms and all that, like the dust blows, it doesn't get anything, you know? The dust blows on all the solar.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about that.
It's weak, all that stuff. You know, you never did see every single time the solar thing is in the worst fucking place for the dust to get all.
But wait,
over
when there's because I out here in the desert, we have horrible dust storms, and now that you say that, so what if dust gets on the solar panels, you have to go clean them, and or they cake right? on them or what?
Exactly.
I didn't even think about that. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is. That's the problem, and. Because that they want all of that stuff. But you know what? A big part too, though, I see, is they just want us fighting. They just want us fighting. Nothing is more important. Maybe this is a farm. Maybe they're farming us for our souls. You know what I mean? Over here.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I don't know what we're doing here. I mean, after realizing that, like,
and I know when I talk to you on the phone, we talk about this. Like, you're on that level. Like you're past. Like, what we're doing here on YouTube is very, folks, very, very surface level. BJ goes deep. He looks at this at from another whole angle, a different perspective. And I agree with him on a lot of his points. Would you want to go on NinosCorner.tv and talk about the conspiracy side of things, what you believe all these who you believe these politicians really are? Would you talk about that, BJ, or no?
Well, I mean, not even really getting into anybody's identity, but I mean, just looking like, I wonder why we're here. I mean, you can't be mayor. You got to be in that club. You can't be a governor. If you even got close, I'm sure you probably. So what makes me think that you could be a billionaire? You think you could buy all the legislature and the county councils and then go buy four Navy SEAL teams and four Delta Force teams and go take the place over real quick? That's too much collateral damage. I mean, just that already. So then even more. Okay, so what are we here for?
So you think all these billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg, they're all artificially made?
No, well, I don't know. Yeah, well, they're just actors.
I mean, they didn't do it themselves. Yeah. In other words, you're saying that they made these people.
They're or just characters, yeah. Just like they can, I could right now. I could change my name to somebody, you know what I mean, and then just go and then picture $1 billion. What you could do with the damage? It's just not if they won't let you. Letting somebody be mayor is a lot less damage than these guys overthrowing than the $1 billion. You know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Council.
If you're gonna be a billionaire, they're definitely gonna control you. Even if you're a multimillionaire, they're gonna make sure they can control you. I mean, the system is made to where you can barely keep your nose above water. Even the tax brackets, they don't let you become, it's very hard to become a millionaire. Very hard. They tax the hell out of you.
And what is the tax? The tax is artificial cost, and that goes to the cost of living. And that's why first thing you would have to chop, like the property tax. Then you go the state sales tax. Then you go whatever other business taxes, and you just got to keep going. Then you go the car, the weight tax, and you just got to keep chopping them all inch by inch, every one. That's how you do it. And on the other side, with the energy and the food, imagine 50 miles of food and a bunch of those rivers just making hydroelectric energy for us the whole time. Imagine the cost of living. That's cost of living down by trillions. Trillions of dollars. You know what I mean? Instead of we only bring food on the boat. 90% of the food comes in on the boat. So does that mean only 10% of us are going to live? If the boat stopped, if they act like there's a pirate ship tomorrow, you know? I mean, the whole thing. They got us, but...
They got us by the balls.
but it's a lot of fun. But no, but we can easily, because... And you cannot blame the people. Like, say they do have some people that do the dirty work for them, but it's because they keep everybody down. I mean, you're working one time, affordable is 40 hours. So if you work a full-time job, the cost should be so cheap that you should be living like a millionaire, because who even wants to fucking get up and pay your taxes anyway? You know what I mean? Who wants to do that when it was the Garden of Eating? I mean, how would you get us from the Garden of Eating all the way to here now? Paying taxes for them, took all the food away, you know? You'd say, well, how would you get us there? You'd steal one tree at a time is what you fucking do. That's how you get the people. That's how you get the people there, right? But the food being on the market, that's the only thing that puts us, because the you see on the African safari, they'll fight a little bit over a girl, but they're not going to kill each other. They might even knock each other out. But the food, that's when people die. Hunger will make a criminal of us all. A 1% increase of food insecurity is a 13% increase in violent crime. Hawaii is at a 45% increase of food insecurity. So imagine all the violent crimes people don't hear. Like, you shut up to his wife or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
And then add alcohol to that. Make alcohol cheap. Put liquor stores on every corner, and there you go.
Yep.
Get rid of the food. Get rid of the produce, and give them liquor. Give them beer.
That you like how we say a liquor store in every corner, like a third world country or something. Five liquor stores on each side. You know what I mean? These guys are unbelievable, but makes you wonder what's going on though, really, because it makes you wonder like who owns all of the buildings in the third world countries, because why doesn't nobody paint them? You know what I mean? Like, is that to just push us back to the middle? What happens if we keep going that way? You know, does make you wonder, but it's.
I'll tell you what, BJ, let's talk more about this on Nino's Corner.tv. You want to, cause I want to judge. The conspiracy stuff. We'll do that tomorrow. Are you up for that tomorrow?
Can't wait.
All right, folks. BJ Penn, UFC champ. The champ is in the house. It's a privilege, BJ. I always love talking to you. You have common sense. I hope that you stay with politics, man. I guess that's your fight. Right. I mean,
what do I do?
You need good people like you, and you are a fighter. So I.
You know what? I'm gonna help out with the family business and stuff, and then I'm just gonna leave my name in. That's it. Just leave my name in. If anybody wants to get their ass kicked in a debate, then I'll
maybe
step up.
maybe things will turn around with Trump. Maybe they will, and maybe you'll have an honest shot.
You know what? I realize a lot. Like now, when you say, "Hey, can you endorse me? I'm running for office," and if they say, "If you get past the primary, I'll endorse you." Because that's they always seal it in the primary. That's what the primary is for. They always take it in the primary, and then if you got past the primary, you're one of the guys.
Yeah.
Then they'll realize you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then they'll freaking. That's what it is. And they took me out in the primary twice. Why? Not because they're scared of me. Because they're scared of the people. Because you give these people hope. You get them to the end, and they're over there chomping like a rabid fucking dog, chomping. They're gonna take over the whole fuck. They're gonna throw everybody at it. No, you lie. I don't believe it. He won. You take it now. You know what I mean? You see it.
All right, BJ. Thank you for joining me, my man.
Okay, boss.
Where can people find you, bro?
I'm on the Instagram. I'm gonna be opening a Twitter and stuff, but bjpenn.com always, you know. Can
you donate there to your cause or to your political run or
We gotta figure out some stuff. It's some stuff I wanted to talk to you about. We'll talk about it on the next. Okay, man.
You got it. Later, BJ.
Take it easy, my man. Yes, sir.